Chapter 5. If you can't make it, fake it. When a quality complex is not quite the real deal. A song is anything that can walk by itself. Bob Dylan. If you can't make it, fake it. No, really. Whole ideologies are promoting the fake orgasm of passion. There is a demand that we set goals for ourselves, take on projects, generate some ambition, show signs of enthusiasm, even when it's not felt. In creating a sense of purpose, we are encouraged to use mental imagery, waste energies such as anger, greed, or desire, and all kinds of pornographic imaginations to get the system moving. It is part of that idealization of the thinking mind referred to in the last chapter. The problem with this exaggerated investment in thought as defining reality is that it contracts the mind. Our thoughts become so preoccupied with thinking the right thing in order to get the right outcome that brings pleasure and not pain, that thinking itself becomes paralyzed. Our mental processes become so paralyzed that ignorance abounds. This ignorance in time becomes forgetting. Where there were still shadows of experience, there are now blind spots. We literally become blind to uncomfortable thoughts and sensations, anything that could cause conflict or make us bad or sad. These blind spots increase our feelings of insecurity in the environment. We feel unsafe, disconnected, alien. Most of the time, we don't know what's going on. And this not knowing is fearful, so we pretend to know stuff. We persuade ourselves that we're in control. But this pretense that aims to protect us is itself under fire. Where we pretend, we could be exposed, so we have to be vigilant, careful of prying eyes. We get caught in a complex in which we desperately want to be seen, and yet really don't want to be seen in ways that we can't control. The whole interchange of conscious attention becomes risky. As a coping strategy, to get some sense of safety back again, we work on our defenses and our pretenses. We cannot make it, so we fake it. But faking it makes us bad. It means we're not really seen. So it leaves us in our loneliness. We lose anyway. Our neural networks become so conditioned in threat detection that many thoughts threaten thought itself. It's crazy to think like that. I've got to get my head together. Amy is mad about Henry. Associations based on past trauma and suffering now become whole ideologies fermented into structures of belief. Each belief is a voice spoken loudly in order to drown out the sound of its opposite. For example, "I'm in control of passion" is broadcast loudly and consciously enough to drown out its opposite. Passion will render us helpless. It is immensely natural for us to be living expressions of passion. Passion is a healer, it gives direction, it is the living answer to a question intimately put to us by our incarnation. Passion is instantaneously fulfilling, and its movement brings unconditional reward. It is that which gives us sense that we are in the right place, at the right time, going in the right direction. It deliciously opens all the other non-dual qualities. It contains the unique formula of our individual manifestation within unity. It brings health, vitality, but also deep rest and containment. It drastically diminishes the fear of death, and all that is left is biological wonder. Passion is not something we can win or lose. It's not something we can create or control. It is as autonomous as our lifeblood. Yet our conditioning has split our consciousness from this embodied passion. We have the unblessed position of living through fragmentation, in which our thoughts compete in the head, our feelings compete in the ether, and our vitality competes with itself within the body. Our energetic constitution is locked in conflict, conspiracy, and contraction. Although we might remember what it is to manifest passion, we suffer the disconnection from it. Just as we dismiss it, we miss it. Just as we scorn it, we mourn it. Just as we feel deprived, we recall how passion makes us feel alive. We secretly crave passion, but recoil for how it could cause us to misbehave. It seems impossible, or too dangerous, or too crazy to just let this awesome, authentic force flow uncensored. If we let our passion fly, we will surely lose it. We split our life force to recklessness, lust, or craziness on the one hand, and rational, cool-headed goal-setting on the other. And of course, we must align with the latter if we want to survive. Grown-ups are rational, and rationality is as cold as ice. Yet all of us are so longing for that deep glow of warmth that passion brings. We want passion, but on our terms and conditions. This has a washout effect on the quantum power of the quality. Passion becomes ambition, and ambition gets fixed on the next job, partner, status, or spiritual attainment. Just as the stuff that promises fulfillment is consumed, a hunger arises for more. The sense of inner lack or failure becomes incongruously sharper in direct proportion to our material gain. All the stuff in the world doesn't seem to be able to take this hunger away. Passion bypass. In the realm of non-dual therapy, this is where we find quality complexes. It's the principle of, if you can't make it, fake it. We solve the conundrum of uncontrolled true nature by recreating the quality at a safe distance from direct experience so we can control it. In this way, we make a passion bypass. We use our will to skip over the vulnerability of core qualities by absorbing any shock or punishment or rejection into an artifice, rather than as a direct hit to the soul. In our own ways, we develop quality complexes to try and extract reward without risk, pleasure without pain, freedom without loss, and delight without shame. We try to get the benefit of the quality while bypassing the pain. A quality complex tries to tame the wildness of the soul. It shows up through structures of mental control. It takes unconditional aspects of source energy and tries to create safe conditions for manifestation. We desperately miss the passion which is part of our true nature, but we don't want the risk. We fear the shock and violation in our naturalness. We want passion, but we don't want to suffer. We know that this awesome quality is part of our uncooked potential, but these raw ingredients of life feel dangerous. They seem to threaten devastating consequences in the real world. The problem is that we cannot live without our true nature. The qualities of our consciousness are ultimately irrepressible. So we strategize. We try to get the quality back on our own terms and under our own fear-based conditions. By faking a quality on the outside, incorporating it into the well-defended layer of ego, self-image, or controlled behavior, it feels safer. But it also degrades the soul. We have learned that when we appear as compassionate, peaceful, or caring, we get positive feedback. Children learn that to pretend a quality, to do as if, can be an effective coping strategy. We defend ourselves with the appearance of qualities, in the hope that this will make us good and prevent attack. We use the appearance of positive qualities as decoys to deflect animosity. For example, we smile happily when we are nervous. Or when we are angry, we assume a serene face, because we have learned that our anger can trigger violence in others. Or we pretend to care about someone's misfortune, when secretly we couldn't give a damn. When we suffer disconnection from a non-dual quality, we begin to obsess about the areas where the sense of lack is strong. We demonstrate love, we declare freedom, we advocate innocence, and we protest that we care. We push ourselves ahead as passionate, promoting ourselves as focused, enthusiastic, and purposeful. We behave as if our work, that we really don't enjoy, really matters. Yet all the time we generate an overdraft of shadow stuff. We feel prostituted through our inauthentic, pleasing behaviors, destructive like hell, and an inner cloud of rage builds up. A quality complex is a beggar's portion of the feast of infinite abundance offered by our true nature. It is a remote, distressed echo of the core quality resonance. It's like the difference between a sugar lump in the mouth and the exquisite sweetness in the atmosphere around a newborn child. One is controlled, finite, addictive, easily lost and won through action. The other is unconditional, all-pervasive, truthful and powerful beyond belief. One has a vulgarity that brings a whiplash in the world of effects. The other sustains us, arousing who we are at the essential layers of being. One enslaves us, the other reminds us that we are always already free. If there is such a difference between a quality complex and the real thing, then why would we make the trade? You could see a quality complex as being a movement of preservation. We dictate the qualities of true nature on life as if they were not spontaneously part of life. After a while, we begin to believe that without our dictation, all will go to hell. The qualities are no longer seen as alive and given, but as the result of our mental effort and dictation. It's up to us to keep things good. But we get exhausted from the stress of it. All the passion of the universe we live in depends on our effort. It's a lot to ask. Take heart. How can we tell if our passion is fake, for real, or a combination of fake and for real? You can sense it. Does it have a vibration of pretense? Is there a slight sense of forcing or the stress of effort? If it's like this, it's okay. If you have a passion complex, it shows that the true passion is strong in you, or else you wouldn't miss it so much. The road inside is paved with gold. Be passionate about reclaiming space for the natural uprising of the true quality. Our quality complexes have their downsides, but they also generate a field of possibility. We behave as if the passion is there, even when there's a psychological disconnect. The behavior does evoke a certain sentient attitude. For example, when we act as if we are loved, we might begin to experience ourselves as lovable, and unexpectedly the environment might adjust to facilitate the direct experience of unconditional love. All non-dual qualities are highly responsive to invitation. So, when we deliberately speak with passion or purpose, act passionately, or instruct ourselves to feel passionate, the quality will arise, yet it will then become limited by the conditions of the complex, conditions that are born through the formulas of fear. A condition on passion could be that there will be no discomfort. When this condition is allowed to block the quality, we get a series of false starts. It makes for a bumpy ride. Still, it is a start. When we do have a strong quality of passion, a passionless world where life has no purpose feels unbearable. So we do something about it. We try to puff it up. We advertise that which we miss the most. We insist on the disconnected passion through our beliefs, moral codes, ethics, and standards of behavior. We demand attention, devotion, and selflessness. We forbid destruction, wild emotion, or spontaneity. We disagree with the world, God, and the universe over the existence of certain forms of cruelty and suffering. We forbid it. We develop a passion complex, which diagnostically shows us to return to the true nature of passion. Not the advertisement, not the agency, but the direct felt sense through body, heart, and mind. The invitation here is to go for the quality of passion with an open mind and with open senses, wherever it resonates. Inside or outside ourselves, backward in time or in the future. Be unconditional in the tuning into the passionate aspects of true nature. There is not a mite of dust without passion in it. Unconditional means that yes, if need be, let yourself fake it. Imagine what it would be like to feel passion intimately in the bones, muscle, and blood. Let passion be felt at zero distance. Notice the quality of passion in the vast spaces around you, even if it means blending with the impersonal power of an ocean or distant supernova. After faking it and making it, a third phase will emerge. Maybe in a dream, perhaps in a moment of synchronicity. When the way is clear, passion will arise spontaneously, choicelessly, sneakily, or wildly, out of the source within, or out of the universe as grace. Suddenly you'll find passion directly expressing through all the forms of you, as the boundless quality of you, resonating as an inseparable and vital part of all you are. And suddenly, with crisp clarity, it is no longer about you at all.